Welcome to Faith and Freedom. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to stand up for faith and freedom as we discuss victories and challenges in the courts, in public policy, and in the culture. Faith and Freedom is brought to you by Liberty Counsel, a litigation, education, and policy organization. Join us now as we address the latest cultural issues across America and around the world.
He is the first in the world to develop therapeutics against COVID, and he is our special guest today on Faith and Freedom. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel. Joining me is Holly Mead, and our special guest is Dr. Vladimir Zelenko. Welcome to Faith and Freedom, Doctor.
Thank you so much for having me.
We are so honored to have you. We really consider you a hero that has been speaking out against really what's going on regarding all this with COVID and the shots, et cetera, et cetera. So thank you so much.
We're going to be able to talk with Dr. Zelenko throughout this week on Faith and Freedom, but let's begin at the very beginning, and let's go back to the very beginning of COVID, Dr. Zelenko, and tell us about what you did in developing the first therapeutic treatment regarding COVID-19.
I prayed. Let me tell you, I was in the first week of March 2020, a family physician for the last 20 years in an upstate New York community, 35,000 people that live within a square mile of each other, a very high population density. And when COVID arrived, then it spread like wildfire through the community. We had at one point thousands of sick patients. It turned out to be the largest outbreak in the United States at that time, and the first actually. And there was no treatment at all. What we were telling patients is take Tylenol, go drink fluids, go home. If you get short of breath, go to the hospital. There, they ended up getting put on a respirator, and in certain hospitals in the New York area, 80% were dying, more than 80%. So that wasn't a treatment option. Now, I'm kind of like the old-time family doctor. I was told, I think this is one of the most significant compliments I ever had in my life, that I'm a family member to 4,000 families. And I really feel that way, and after being there for two decades, these aren't patients, they're family, they're friends, the people that I have multi-generational connection to.
So you take care of your family. Yeah.
But they were dying, and there was nothing to do with it. They were looking at me to help them, and there was no answer. So it's a terrible feeling. I hope no anyone ever has to experience that. But what I learned throughout my life for personal health reasons and other reasons, that if there's no solution, you have to find one on your own. You don't just give up. And so I literally prayed. It was 2 o'clock in the morning, and I was distraught and not knowing what to do. The whole world was in lockdown mode and chaos and fear, myself included. And you know, for example, I would go to work. I have one lung. I'm on chemo. I've been living with cancer, and I used to think that this is my last day, that I'm going to go to work and I'm not going to see my family again. That was the chaos and the uncertainty of that time period. And an idea was given to me at 2 o'clock in the morning. I remember exactly when it happened. And that idea was based on kind of integrating knowledge together. In the Talmud, it says a very interesting thing, that God always gives the cure before the disease. And I felt that existing knowledge could be repurposed, reintegrated, and used in a smart, common sense way, and you can have better outcomes. So it's pretty pathetic, in my opinion, when common sense is considered genius in this generation. But all I did was use common sense. Here's the first principle is, if you treat someone earlier, they're gonna get better quicker, and the outcomes are gonna be better. I think that's absolutely common sense, and everyone just intuits that. Then I also realized that, well, I need to figure out who this virus is killing. So I called my colleagues that work in the intensive care units, and I asked them, who are you seeing? Who's dying? And they told me, well, it's the older patients and those with medical problems. Next question was, are you seeing the, you know, what about kids? What about younger people? They said, we're not seeing them. We're not seeing them in the ICU. So I figured out right away that this virus doesn't kill equally. So I developed very quick risk stratification criteria, because I didn't have enough resources. I used to see 50 patients a day. Now we're seeing 250. Half my staff is sick. Outpatient radiology and lab services are closed. Hospitals at near capacity. It was a mass casualty event with no resources. So what I tried to do was triage send the people that were low risk home and dedicate my limited resources to the high risk patients. And what did I do? So I pulled together the data that and the treatment approaches from South Korea and France and kind of mashed it up into a cocktail that I thought would work. I tweaked the dosing to represent less acutely ill patients. And because I'm an outpatient doctor, my job is to keep people out of the hospital. And that's always been my orientation. And so I was seeing people at the beginning of the disease process, not the end. And so I just started treating them. And from that moment in time, with God's grace, I don't take any credit for it, people stopped going to the hospital. And it was so significant that I made a video and notified the Trump administration. And 16 hours later, I get a phone call from Mark Meadows, the president's chief of staff. That started my relationship with the Trump administration. Ended up speaking to Dr. Stephen Hahn, the commissioner of the FDA and the NIH, which was a dead end, and then Rudy Giuliani. And Rudy Giuliani did a podcast with me, which went viral and millions of people saw it. And my life has never been the same since. You know, governments have consulted with me. I've treated President Bolsonaro from Brazil and many very high level leaders from around the world that prefer not to be mentioned. And my data, initial observations, were published in the peer-reviewed journal with an 84% reduction in hospitalization and death. So out of 600,000 dead Americans, let's say, if we would have scaled this approach nationally, we could have prevented 510,000 deaths and even hospitalizations. This data has been subsequently corroborated by dozens of studies from around the world. So it's a medical fact, no longer a anecdote. It's no longer just one doctor making some type of claims. This is a medical fact. Hundreds, if not thousands, of physicians have trained, and now they're training their own physicians. And as a group, we've treated millions of high-risk patients successfully. So that's the perspective I bring.
And so you actually have been nominated for a Nobel Peace Prize, along with some other doctors, for your role in addressing the coronavirus pandemic. And you've achieved worldwide prominence for treating COVID patients with hydroxychloroquine and zinc and other protocols, nutraceuticals, and medications that were already FDA approved and very safe. And you're the one who actually recommended HCQ to President Trump. And I believe that's how this ultimately came about, where he talked about HCQ may be a good treatment. But then all of a sudden, things changed. And then
censored,
HCQ,
yeah,
that had been around for decades, and now, as you mentioned, lots of different studies support what you found, it all of a sudden got crushed and there was opposition to it. What happened?
The stakeholders realized that it works and had a vested interest in the suppression of this life-saving information and access to medication for unholy reasons.
Yeah, it is such a shame, because it is literally a crime against humanity what has happened, because this is, I've seen it personally in many, many people that I know recommending this protocol to them, and it has clearly worked every single time to every person that I have seen have these COVID symptoms, including the Delta variant. Dr. Zelenko, in terms of the kinds of protocol, somebody who's trying to prevent COVID, somebody who may have COVID early on, in say 30 seconds, can you run through some of those items that you have recommended as part of your therapeutic treatment?
Yeah, vitamin C and vitamin D are essential, not for COVID, but for general immune health. That's part of every protocol. Zinc inhibits viral replication. The problem with zinc is that it doesn't get into the cell in the right amount. So you need another compound called a zinc ionophore that helps zinc into the cell in the right concentration. There are four of them: hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, quercetin, and EGCG. The first two are prescription, the last two are available over the counter.
And they're also inexpensive as well, and they don't have the same fatal effects that this shot has.
Exactly. And that goes back to what Dr. Zelenko said, mm-hmm, the stakeholders, the pharmaceuticals,
right,
the others that had an agenda beyond the pharmaceuticals to use COVID as a broader global agenda. This didn't meet their narrative because it's very cheap. Many people could have been saved not having to go to the hospital at all. And so it was crushed. Even the Lancet Journal had to revoke its article against HCQ because it was based on false information. Our guest today and throughout this week is Dr. Zelenko. He is an Orthodox Jew. He is one who prayed, and God gave him this therapeutic treatment, the first in the world, board-certified family physician for over 20 years. Peer-reviewed work has accumulated more than 100 citations and was part of doctors who were recommended for the Nobel Peace Prize in treating COVID. For more information, you can go to Liberty Counsel's website, lc.org/vaccine, lc.org/vaccine.
You've been listening to Faith and Freedom, brought to you by Liberty Counsel. We hope that we have motivated you to stand up for your faith, family, and freedom. Get informed and get involved today. Visit Liberty Counsel's website at lc.org, where you can obtain email alerts and other information to keep you informed and involved. The website again, lc.org.